910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Lebanese authorities say the death toll following an Israeli airstrike on a Beirut suburb has risen to 31. That strike killing a top Hezbollah commander. ABC News national security and intelligence analyst Mick Mulroy.
Of course, the U.S. would really like to see this de-escalate and go the other directions, starting with a ceasefire agreement in Gaza, which is unfortunately seeming to get further and further away.
The Hezbollah commander was linked to the deadly 1983 bombing of the U.S. Embassy in Lebanon. Indonesian authorities today say that a 38-year-old New Zealand pilot held hostage for more than a year in the rest of Papua region was freed by separatist rebels. Campaigning this weekend, Vice President Harris visiting battleground state Georgia, focusing on reproductive rights. Former President Trump in North Carolina today. The candidate he endorsed for governor there has found himself embroiled in a scandal over racist and homophobic online posts. This is ABC News. While protesters chanted outside a prison in Columbia, South Carolina, inside, Freddie Owens was executed by lethal injection. Christy Shane, South Carolina Department of Corrections.
The execution began at 6:35 p.m. and inmate Owens was pronounced dead by a physician at 6:55 p.m.
The 46-year-old's execution and others had been paused for 13 years because prison officials couldn't get the drugs needed for lethal injections. Owens was convicted of the 1997 killing of a Greenville convenience store clerk during a robbery. While on trial, Owens killed another person in jail. Venezuela's opposition leader Edmundo Gonzalez speaking out, telling Reuters in an exclusive interview that he sought refuge in Spain after he was warned that President Nicolas Maduro's security forces were coming for him. His party insists Gonzalez was the real winner of the July presidential election. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, Ted, I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Access to nutritious food can be hard to come by for underserved populations. A Wisconsin program that relies on contributions from locally based producers serves as a go-between, with the added bonus of a smaller climate impact. Mike Moen reports.
The state's local food purchase assistance program is closing in on its second anniversary. Under the initiative, farmers around Wisconsin are awarded grants to set aside some of their fresh produce and other items that get picked up and distributed to hunger relief sites. The Wisconsin Farmers Union helps lead the effort, and the organization's Forrest Humphrey says one of the benefits is helping smaller farms expand their markets.
This guaranteed income has allowed farms to invest in their operations and do things that they otherwise wouldn't be able to do because we've been able to provide some stability through some unpredictable growing seasons.
And for people seeking help from hunger relief groups, their outcomes might improve if food insecurity becomes one less thing to worry about. Researchers say there's debate over just how effective locally grown food is in reducing emissions when focusing on how products are delivered. Still, Humphrey points out that a number of the small farms signed up for the program prioritize climate-friendly practices.
We have producers, for example, who are providing some really, really high-quality grass-fed beef into the program. And the reason that they're able to do that is because they have, you know, a really sophisticated managed grazing setup on their farms.
Officials say so far, It has served 70 counties across Wisconsin with nearly $3 million worth of food delivered. This is Mike Bowen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Little breezy today. Highs near 80 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon. Showers and storms possible tonight with a low around 47. Then things are cooler. 64 for a high on Sunday. 66 the high on Monday. 68 for Tuesday.
It's 48 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Cheese Days in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris's stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Schwabba.
We are back for hour number two of this Thursday night edition of Nightlight, broadcasting statewide from our beautiful studios here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, downtown Green Bay. The studio is in disarray. Conrad is surrounded by monitors. I don't know what kind of tomfoolery is going on over there, but we have more monitors than probably the Pentagon. It's going to be exciting when everything's done.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be fantastic. So coming up at 7:35, Kristen Schrader will be here to talk about Fall Fest in Dodge County. That'll be fun. And right now, we are going to... This is really exciting because I love history. I love Wisconsin history. And we have so many cool things in this state that people need to know about. And I hope that this next segment brings awareness to one of these places. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight Black Point Estate Site Director, David Desimone. David, how are you?
Oh, fantastic, Pete. Thanks for having me tonight.
It's my pleasure. Am I saying your last name right? It's not Desimone, is it?
DeSimone.
DeSimone. Oh, I like it. It's very...
Yeah, just imagine if that S were capitalized.
Yeah.
It probably was at one point.
That is such a much more exotic name than Schwabba. I'm very envious of you, David. That's a great name.
I don't know. Schwabba's pretty good.
It's okay. I'll take it. How you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Just really had a great summer. You know, we're a seasonal attraction.
Yeah.
So we depend on this, you know, extension of summer through September. It's been 80, 85 down here. So it's just been really, really busy, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. So you live in the Lake Geneva area, I assume, or do you live on the grounds? I hope that's not a silly question.
Yeah, so technically it's not a silly question. I do live on the original estate grounds.
Wow.
But the family that donated this property in 2005 kept the farm. So I am a tenant. I rent the farmhouse. So it's a nice separation from work and, you know, my residence.
Yeah.
But I'm close enough to come out at 2 a.m. when there's a bat flying around in the building and I can be back asleep in 20 minutes. I have really the best of both worlds.
That sounds pretty cool. This sounds like such an interesting job. I kind of don't know where to jump in here. So I'm just going to ask you, you work at one of the, as I understand it, as our friend Rebecca said, 12 Wisconsin Historical Society sites. And this is one of them. Tell us about Black Point Estate. Give us a little history and how it came to be where it is right now.
Well, there's sort of two different tracks for the history of the site. There's the Chicago beer baron by the name of Conrad Seip, at one point is the largest producer of beer in the United States, only for 2 years, loses that title to an outfit in Milwaukee by the name of Pabst. But the Seip family owns and occupies the summer residence from 1888 through 2005.
Wow.
It's just a phenomenal story. It's a lovely long run for, you know, a summer residence, a summer cottage, if you will. And then the second track is about a 10-year-long struggle for the fourth generation family members to donate it to the state of Wisconsin. It's, I won't go into a ton of the detail, but it's full of intrigue and local politics and the haves versus the have-nots and a lot of litigation. The short version is the neighbors were concerned that a private residence becoming a museum would do three things. It would lower their property values. The state might not take care of it, and it would be overrun with tourists. And you know, I can kind of get people fear the unknown, but it takes about 10 years. And you know, you want to talk about a, you know, a John Grisham kind of legal novel type of thing. There's a Hollywood movie and just the making of how this property becomes the state of Wisconsin and how the Wisconsin Historical Society ultimately takes over operation.
That is real. Okay, so the family owned it, the Seip family owned it until 2005. That right. money, that family money lasted that long?
Believe it or not, beer is like, is a great business.
No doubt.
You know, I always say beer, especially at that time, was a low profit, high volume business. So water, not safe to drink. And as these cities are emerging and industrializing, and if we believe our good friend at PBS, Ken Burns, his documentary on Prohibition states that the average working class, like blue collar guy, is drinking between 21 and 24 beers a day.
Oof.
So, you know, you're making a penny on a bottle, but it's you're making a lot more money on beer than a bar of soap.
It's a lot of bottles. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so in 2005, the Seip family gives it up. And tell us about the grounds, if you will, and the house. Like, it's a big Victoria. It's a beautiful house. I went to the website, and I was kind of looking at a little virtual tour and pictures. Tell us about the house itself and the grounds, please.
You're absolutely right. It's this big sort of, well, the technical style of the house is a Victorian stick style. But it really has this almost lighthouse motif to it because there's a tower. Many Victorian homes have a tower or a turret. This is sort of over-exaggerated. It juts high above the roof line. All of these homes on Geneva Lake were situated facing the lake. That's the kind of the main thoroughfare. There were always cart paths and footpaths, but most of these you know, titans of industry would come from Chicago by rail to Lake Geneva, then get on a steam yacht, and that's how they would get from door to door or place to place. We are situated on initially 27 acres. It's a house, like literally it's the house high up on the hill, overlooks the lake. And then the property's expanded to 100 acres around 1900. That's when they purchased this farm, a couple of additional side lots. They also hire a landscape architect about that same time named Olaf Benson to really create a like a family compound or like a private park.
Okay.
There was four sisters in that first generation that all end up with lake houses. So it really becomes, you know, there's at one point four of these Queen Anne's, these large Victorian homes. You can imagine, you know, your sisters, extended family, something like 34 bedrooms between the four houses. And they were vacationing all summer long in the Victorian era. They would be here, at least women and children. And, you know, guys like us, we would have to hop on our steam yacht. I know it sounds tough. Get back onto that train and then maybe get into Chicago about 9:30 or 10 o'clock on Monday morning and then work the week and then come back on Friday night.
My guest is David DeSimone. He is the Black Point Estate site director, and he's got a pretty sweet crib there, kind of on the grounds, but also has his own thing. It's not a bad setup. You can take tours. David, when is the last time before it became a historical site that people live there, like regular people use the house?
So one of my favorite stories, I didn't get a chance, Pete, to meet the donor. He passed away a year before I started. That was Bill Peterson. But we have a lot of VHS interviews with Bill and two brothers and a cousin because it did take about, like I said, 10 years to get through the legal ramifications of how to make this work. But one of my favorite stories that's passed on to me is the last weekend of the summer of 2005. Bill knows it's going to be donated to the state of Wisconsin. Everything's set, and there's going to be a ceremony like Monday morning. And the story I'm told is Bill gets the time confused. He's thinking it's going to be like noon or 1 o'clock. About 8:39 in the morning, some state bureaucrats and some politicians show up, and there's a knock at the door, and he's got a house full of guests. So they literally used it right up until the last day.
Oh, wow.
And what's remarkable about it, Pete, is all the stuff was left behind. So it's Victorian furnishings, artwork, bed linens, medicine in the medicine cabinet from the 1920s, 1950s, right through the 2000s. It just became this like layering of history over 117 years of family vacationing.
Did you almost just want to leave it like that? I mean, to me, those little relics of personal items and stuff like that, that's what I love about art. That's what I love about history, is connecting. And I know they're just little maybe pill bottles from the 20s, but that's fascinating stuff.
And you're absolutely right. And so when we started to develop an interpretive plan for the site, we left most of those little mementos. It could be a hand-drawn map, a bookmark, toothbrushes in the toothbrush holder.
Wow.
Because we didn't want it to necessarily feel like a decorative arts showplace. We wanted it to feel like a very much loved and lived in home.
Yeah.
And museums often aren't provided that opportunity because a lot of those personal items are gone.
Yeah.
But in this case, because they were left behind, we hear that all the time. When guests come in, we're not the most grand historic house in the state. That might be the Pabst Mansion or Villa Louis in Prairie du Chien. We don't have the greatest gardens. We have really good gardens, but really sets us apart, and we hear it over and over again, is people say when they come to visit, I feel like I could live here, or like this was my grandmother's house, or wow, there's a personal connection, and that is because of all those little relics and artifacts.
That is really fascinating. You say I've been to Lake Geneva several times over the course of my life, and I'm trying to picture where this is. And now I'm going to look for that turret, which is very ostentatious, is beautiful, and on a hill. But how do you say you have to get there by boat? Is it kind of on a little island, or is it still the case?
So it's not on an island, but that is one of the conditions that we agreed to with the neighbors and the folks that didn't want the museum to exist. So to eliminate their fear of vehicle traffic, all you remember, this is before GPS was in everybody's phone. They're worried about people going to the wrong house. So 90% of our guests come to us through the Lake Geneva Cruise Line.
Okay.
And you really have to look for Black Point. Even though we're up on this hill, it's a woodlot, so you don't see the house from the lake.
Okay.
And that goes back to the early 1900s. A lot of trees were planted here. In part to provide privacy, but also to help with hillside soil erosion, because it's a pretty steep bluff. So currently, the only thing you can see above the trees from the water is like the top, the little bit of the turret. That's about okay. It.
That's great. David DeSimone is here. He is the Black Point Estate Site Director in Lake Geneva. Sounds like a really fascinating place. We're going to talk to David for a few more minutes after a short break here. And we're going to delve into the spooky with the Victorian Mansion. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Freezing your credit sounds drastic, but it's not. In fact, freezing your credit is one of the best ways you can protect yourself from identity theft. Freezing your credit doesn't stop your credit score from going up or down. It's just a way to make sure that nobody can open an account in your name, not even you, without removing your freeze first. So to freeze your credit, you just contact each of the three major credit bureaus and you request a credit freeze. To search up the term credit freeze, and you'll find the phone numbers and websites where you can get it all done. And don't worry, you can always unfreeze your credit when you need to apply for new credit, like a loan or something, by contacting each bureau again. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org or text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. We are talking Lake Geneva, Wisconsin history, the Sipe family. My guest is David DeSimone. He is the site director at in Lake Geneva at the Black Point Estate. Really cool stuff, David. Do you ever, I imagine you find yourself alone a lot in the house just by nature of your job. Do you ever, does that help you feel a connection to the Sipe family or the Victorian era? What kind of feelings do you have when you're there by yourself?
You know, I get asked that a lot. I'm for the longest time, I was the only year-round employee. So, you know, God, January through April, I was home alone. And, you know, there were times where it started to feel like those two little girls from The Shining could pop up. But for the most part, you get used to it. And it does, when you're in a place like that, that has, first of all, like 117 years worth of family stuff that's not yours, you get intimately exposed to it, and you get a chance to, you know, really discover every nook and cranny, pull every book out of the bookcase. There is a strong connection to the place as well as the people who inhabited the place. We went through something like 1,700 books in the collection, and you get to learn a lot about people because of what they read, the little notes they've left in the margins, the things that they've underlined. So in a lot of ways, although I've never met most of these people, I do feel like I know them better than I know some of my own relatives.
That's a great answer. Okay, so you host, I want to get into this a little bit. We just have a few more minutes. You host evenings of Victorian spiritualism at the estate. Can you elaborate on that and tell us what that is?
Yeah. So we get asked, absolutely. So Pete, for about 8 years, I would get asked at least once or twice a week, is the place haunted? And we're the Wisconsin Historical Society. We're not saying there's anything, if you believe in ghosts or anything in the afterlife, that's fine, but we are fact-based. You know, we need evidence and we need, sources. Things have to be researched. So we're not into telling ghost stories.
Right.
And then during the year of around 2019, I kept thinking October was a slow month for us. So I have a month that's not performing very well, and I have a lot of interest in ghost stories. How could I make this interest in ghost stories something beneficial to drive attendance to the site? And it kept coming back to, we could offer cemetery tours. We could offer, you know, like programs on Edgar Allan Poe, a lot of the literature of the era. And then I got sort of tuned into this whole idea of Victorian spiritualism, which was a real cultural phenomenon where so many Americans believed that you could communicate with the deceased. And I literally started reading books that winter. You know, I picked up one, and then one turned into five, and then five turned into nine books on the subject. And I was blown away by how strong of a Wisconsin connection there is to the national spiritualism movement. So out of that, a program was developed, and we're in our third year. It's not a seance, but it feels, you know, we follow a lot of the same guidelines. Everybody who attends this is gathered around our dining room table. And of course, we have the lights down, and we ask that they hold hands. And there's a lot of theatrics that are borrowed directly from these 1860s and 1870s manuals for spiritualism. Guidebooks, if you will.
Yeah.
But then we just go really into a straight history of who these people were. It starts in upstate New York, has a real strong Wisconsin connection. Cora Scott and Mary Folsom are two women from Wisconsin that are on the national stage as mediums of their era. The Morris Pratt Institute in Whitewater is a spiritualist college that existed until the 1930s. To this day, there's still a camp, Wanawak in Juneau County is apparently, I don't know a ton about the camp, but it's been in operation since 1874. So it's just really fascinating, and that became a local history angle. So by no means am I an expert, but I know enough to really provide an entertaining and fact-based program. It's a great date night. You know, it's October, you come by boat, it's spooky, the house is dark, it's fun to be here in the evening. So there's a lot to like about it.
Conrad, get a date, we'll double, we'll hit this. I love this. David, you offer these great nights in October, as you mentioned, three nights, only 13 guests per night. How can people get tickets for this, and are there any left? And have you ever seen anything weird at one of these nights or that you couldn't describe?
So first question is how to get information, blackpointestate.org.
Okay.
You can also go to the Black Point Facebook page. There's a tab that says events, and this will pop right up. The second question is, yes, there are tickets available, both for our spiritualism programs, and we do offer a three-day dramatic reading of Edgar Allan Poe, which is equally spooky and entertaining.
Yeah.
Now, the third question, what has anything happened at any of these events that are spooky or memorable? We've had guests in attendance that after the program, we do offer for anybody who's interested, a kind of behind the scenes tour. And we've had a couple of people specifically say, and once again, this is not a value or a judgment. If this is somebody's belief, this is their belief,
sure,
that they felt the presence or a spirit or an aura in a particular room. And one of the ladies, actually at one of these events last year, wouldn't enter that space.
Whoa.
Now, we know nobody in the Syke family ever died here, and there were no funerals here.
Okay.
And that often gets brought up, like, was there a wake here, or was there some sort of trauma when somebody passed on? Luckily, in the 117 years, their wakes would have been back in Chicago at their primary residence.
Right.
And okay, they just made it through the 117 years without no death or dying.
And you've never lost anyone on one of your tours, I assume.
Not to my knowledge.
I'd be the first. All right, David, thank you so much for your time. This was really fun. Let's do this again. Love what you do, and I would love to hear more about it. So let's absolutely circle back soon.
I appreciate the time, Pete. You're always welcome down here to come and visit as a guest or for one of the programs.
I will take you up on that, my friend. Thank you very much. Have a great night, David.
Thank you.
All right. Check out this really cool place. Check out the Black Point Estate in Lake Geneva. And you can go. It's just blackpoint.org, I believe it was. And they've still got spaces in their October. That sounds really fun. I would love to do something like that, especially when there are other people around. I wouldn't want David to say, Pete, walk down that hall. Little Bobby Sipe is waiting to talk to you about crazy stuff. But all right, coming up next, Kristen Schaefer will join me to talk about Fall Fest in Dodge County. That's up next on Nightlight after award-winning news from Civic Media.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Lebanese authorities say the death toll following an Israeli airstrike on a Beirut suburb has risen to 31. That strike killing a top Hezbollah commander. ABC News national security and intelligence analyst Mick Mulroy.
Of course, the U.S. would really like to see this de-escalate and go the other directions, starting with a ceasefire agreement in Gaza, which is unfortunately seeming to get further and further away.
The Hezbollah commander was linked to the deadly 1983 bombing of the U.S. Embassy in Lebanon. Indonesian authorities today say that a 38-year-old New Zealand pilot held hostage for more than a year in the rest of Papua region was freed by separatist rebels. Campaigning this weekend, Vice President Harris visiting battleground state Georgia, focusing on reproductive rights. Former President Trump in North Carolina today, the candidate he endorsed for governor there has found himself embroiled in a scandal over racist and homophobic online posts. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Packers hit the road tomorrow. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is at Tennessee this week. In the preseason, the Packers traded with the Titans to bring in Malik Willis, who started last week's win over Indianapolis. Willis said that Tennessee knows what he can do.
I'm not sure that it comes down to that. I know they're over there preparing, and we're going to prepare over here and do the best we can come game time. But like you said, we're taking this thing day by day.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he knows there's a tough task ahead for the offense, regardless of who is at quarterback.
I think they got a lot of veteran players, and they're a well-built defense. I think schematically, it's a challenge. Denard Wilson coming from Baltimore, and just he's an experienced guy in this league. And then when you couple that with really good players, you have a chance to be a really good defense.
Jordan Love is listed as questionable for tomorrow's game, which kicks off at noon. The Milwaukee Brewers lost Friday 7-4 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers 4 games back of the National League's best record. The same two teams play tonight in Milwaukee. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A little breezy today. Highs near 80 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon. Showers and storms possible tonight with a low around 47. Then things are cooler. 64 for a high on Sunday. 66 the high on Monday. 68 for Tuesday.
It's 51 at our studios.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Shortly after taking office, Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen directed state election officials to invalidate voter registrations of immigrants who had been issued a permanent resident or green card by the U.S. government. In his zeal to root out non-citizens, he apparently invalidated eligible U.S. naturalized citizens as well. Despite no evidence of widespread illegal voting by non-citizens in Alabama, Allen directed the removal of residents who had a federal non-citizen identification number from the state's voter rolls. The state purged 3,251 people in August, after which Allen said in a statement, "I have been clear that I will not tolerate the participation of non-citizens in our elections." The Alabama Reflector reports that a lawsuit was filed September 13th by democracy groups and four naturalized citizens who at one time held a green card and a non-citizen identification number and were swept up in Allen's, quote, purge program. The complaint alleges that it violates the First and 14th Amendments, the Voting Rights Act, and the National Voter Registration Act, and asks the court to strike the program down. It also alleges that the announcement and notification of voters violated the VRA's prohibition of, quote, attempting to intimidate, threaten, or coerce any person for voting or attempting to vote. No hearing has yet been scheduled. We've linked the complaint at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global will be here to talk about gas and energy prices. Send in your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, so our question of the night is, what do you find very stressful? What stresses you out the most? Steady Eddie says, Pete, texting in my impression of a pirate reading an eye chart. That's because today is National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Aye.
Yeah, we do that every day anyway. But director's note, spoken like a pilot. Pirate. Arr, A-E-A-R. I can't believe I just read that. What stresses me out the most, he says, in all caps, everything. The world is more scary today than at any time in my life, and I'm old. I'm preparing myself for the coming global economic, political, environmental superstorm, in all caps again. Hoping for the best, preparing for the worst. Fortunately for me, I find listening to Nightlight soothing. It helps me make it through the night. Well, that's what we are here for, Eddie. I appreciate that. He says, thanks, Pete and Conrad. We're here for you, pal, and it's great to have you as a listener, and I love reading your texts, so keep them coming, pal, and hang in there. It'll get better, right?
Aye.
Yeah, there you go. From the pirate's mouth to Eddie's ears. All right, we are going to pivot here and bring in. It's so many great fall festivals in Wisconsin. We talked about one in Cedarburg yesterday, and I was looking over the internet today, and I found this festival in Dodge County called Fall Fest. And I spoke with this woman today called Kristen Schaefer, a very nice person. She's the director of the Dodge County Fall Fest, and she joins us here on Nightlight over the phone. Kristen, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. I understand we are interrupting your bingo night, so I doubly appreciate your time.
Yes, no problem. It's fun to do that on Thursdays. So,
have you had a good bingo tonight?
I have had no good bingos tonight, unfortunately, but they have it at the Legion, so I'm happy to support.
What do you when you have a good bingo? And I just love the phrase "good bingo." What do you win there in Dodge County at the Legion Hall if you get a good bingo?
It depends on the game that you're playing, but usually between 100 and 250 for a good bingo.
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Road trip.
Yes, exactly.
That's really. And how much do the cards cost?
I think it was 10. Or the cards.
Wow, that's not too bad.
For all the games included.
Do you want to? Okay, so when I was 19, I went on a bingo kick. Me and my friends, we were home for the summer, our first year of college. And we went and we were surrounded by these older women playing bingo. And my friend Tom ran out of chips or pellets or whatever you call them. And he reached for this woman's stack. She had more than she needed. And he took a couple chips and she swatted his hand.
It's a very intense game. You don't dare talk during it.
Okay.
We're usually in the bar, my sister-in-law and I, so it's a little bit more laid back in there, but yes, it's very intense, so you don't dare do that.
Well, we learned our lesson the hard way, I'll tell you. So,
absolutely.
Kristen, it's great to have you on the show. For those of you, those of us that don't really get to Dodge County all the time, it's a shame, but tell us why Dodge County is such a great place.
Oh, absolutely. Dodge County, I was born and raised in Mayville, Wisconsin. Dodge County is one of those communities that just takes care of each other. It's built with small business. I mean, it's got, there's Audubon Days in September and then the Dodge County Antique Power Club. There's just always something going on. I feel like the community always comes together and always puts something on for the kids, for the businesses, for everything. So,
however, they're a little stingy with their bingo chips. Like most people are. But other than that, it's
correct.
A great community.
So other than that, yes. But.
So, all right. So you've lived there your whole life. And how is it going with the Fall Fest? We talked today and you said there were a lot of festivals that you're working on there. And we just missed one, if I recall. But you have Fall Fest and then you have other festivals throughout the year. So before we get into Fall Fest, tell us what else you got cooking there.
Sure. So I am the president of Mayville Audubon Days, which is it was an event that started in 1987 in Mayville, Wisconsin. It lost its luster a little bit after COVID, like a lot of things did.
Sure.
I took it on 3 years ago. I'm sorry, this is my third year doing it. And we've just been building it back up again. The goal is to basically draw people to the community as well as put on an event for the community of the people that live here. So of an event going since 1987, it's got a lot of following, but we just have to bring that following back. So the people coming into town spend their money. They have an event. They get to listen to free music, have a couple beers, have fun.
Yeah.
Do the kids stuff. You know, a lot of it's free. And that's what we're trying to do with the Fall Fest as well, is bring that same idea with a little bit of heritage, a little bit different than Audubon Days, because the Dodge County Antique Power Club is a club that's built on kind of the wholesome values of old-time equipment. So giving the kids a little bit of what equipment maybe Grandpa used to have. So that has a little bit of a different aspect, but I think it's something that's dying out, but it's good for kids to see. So
sure.
That's what we're doing on October 5th from 12 noon to 7 p.m. So,
but that's Fall Fest or that's Audubon Days on October 5th?
October 5th will be Fall Fest.
Fall Fest. Okay. Very cool. All right. So if people want to check out Fall Fest, and it's such a beautiful area of the state where you live. How can they find out more information about it and tell them what they can expect if they go?
Sure, absolutely. So you would just want to go right to the Dodge County Antique Power Club Facebook page, and then there'll be a link right there that'll take you to all the activities. So the Dodge County Antique Power Club Facebook has everything listed on it, but some of the things, it's going to be a $5 admission to get in. We're going to have a big bouncy house for the kids to slide down. There'll be spooky hay rides, some plowing, kind of a demonstration there, some corn picking, haystack climbing, gravity wagon basketball. We've got an old-time apple press, which is really cool to see. I myself have even done the apple press. Sorghum pressing, which are some of the things I don't myself even know how to do. So a tractor or treat, so they'll decorate their tractors, and then the kids will go trick-or-treating with their costumes on.
What was the thing right before you said you don't even know how to do it? What was that?
Sorghum pressing, so I guess that must be some kind of a wheat or barley, some kind of a, I believe that's what it is. Whatever is pressed out of that, you would use it to make something. So that would be, I guess, above my pay grade of knowing what that is. But it is something that apparently will be there.
Okay, very good. And you're
I've never heard of it anywhere else, so I'm sure it's something we should all come see.
That's more reason to check out Fall Fest in Dodge County. You're saying it's at the Dodge County Antique Power Club grounds. What is that exactly?
So that is outside of between Beaver Dam and Horicon. There's a city called Burnett, Wisconsin, and it is off on Highway B as in boy. And it's a big grounds where they have the show every year in August, the first weekend in August, and they showcase a different brand of machinery. So every year it's a different one. This event will go on those grounds. So it's a big open area with different buildings and bathrooms and stuff like that. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, that sounds really fun. Okay. So, all right. So let me do this. Before, my guest, by the way, is Kristen Schaefer. She is the director of the Dodge County Fall Fest. Is it Mayville Fall Fest or Dodge County? I want to make sure I'm representing
it. It'll be Dodge County Fall Fest. Yep.
Okay. Where can people find out more information?
On the Facebook page. So just go right to the Dodge County Antique Power Club Facebook page, because it is brought to you by Dodge County Antique Power Club, and then everything will be right on that, and you can find any information you need.
Outstanding. And I have one more question for you, Kristen, before we let you get back to bingo, before anybody steals your chips. Let's say you're done planning, you've worked hard, Fall Fest is raging, you're ready to go. What do you watch on TV when you get home at night, just to kind of take the edge off?
Absolutely. I binge watch all of the old Law and Orders.
Oh,
doesn't matter which
nice.
One, but I'm a big Law and Order fan.
You know what the great thing about being a Law and Order fan is? You have literally 1,000 shows to check out. I mean, you've got 25 years of SVU. You've got the original in different iterations. You have Major Case, I think it was, with Vincent D'Onofrio. What's your favorite out of those?
It is definitely SVU. I usually just watch the seasons over and over as if I haven't seen them 100 times. Watching them since I was in high school.
So. Oh, that's so cool. It's the best thing about SVU is it's been on so long. I love occasionally, my wife will still watch that a lot, and I'll sit down and I'll go, oh my gosh, I don't think I've seen this one before. And that's rare, but it is such a gem when you find one you haven't watched.
100%. There is the occasional one. I haven't seen that one yet, but I still wait for the day that, you know, that they bring Stabler back. I think they might have into the newer ones, but Stabler was always my favorite. So, like,
you know,
back.
I liked him on the show, but like, you watch Stabler now on Organized Crime, and he looks like he's kind of on steroids, and he just seems like a different guy. Like, he's always kind of a tough guy, which I didn't mind, but now I'm like, this looks like a different guy. Do you think he and Olivia will ever get together?
I think so. I think there's a spin. They wouldn't have brought him back if there wasn't going to be something. They knew it. They knew they were going to do that.
It's got to happen, right?
Yes.
Kristen, this has been fun. Thank you so much. Good luck with Fall Fest. It was great meeting you on the phone today. Let's keep in touch. I want to hear more about Dodge County moving forward and Mayville, and I wish you luck on October 5th. It sounds like a blast.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. You are a good bingo. Get back at it.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good night.
You too. All right. That's Kristen Schaefer. Check out Fall Fest in Dodge County. You know what? We should have recommended something they could do there for the kids.
Pirates?
Talk like a pirate. Yes. Kids, who wants to do this potato race?
Arr.
Is it R or is it I?
There's many variations. Because Steve the pirate from Dodgeball goes, Gar.
Oh, that. Dodgeball is one of those movies. I'm kind of embarrassed how much I laughed at it.
It's so funny.
So stupid. It's so funny. But you just get sucked in. And Vince Vaughn is just, that's like, I like Bad Monkey. It's fine. But to me, Vince Vaughn is the funniest when he is like the ringleader, like whether it's an old school or I assume you've seen Swingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's just kind of that guy. I mean, and he does that in Dodgeball too. And when you have like Rip Torn. What does he call crotch stain? What does he say that to? Is it Ben Stiller? I don't know.
It was a funny
movie.
Why can't I think of his name? I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah. No, that was, but that's one of those movies. It's like, hey, we got to make a movie about Dodgeball. Okay, let's throw a plot together. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's probably unrealistic. Ben Stiller is totally over the top, but it works. It's so funny. Did we do our Midnight Run clip last night?
Yeah, wait.
Or did we play it? Or I know it's in the Wisco weekend. But did we actually play it?
We did not.
All right, let's do that. First, I have to read a text. This is from the 818. This is from Bridget, who crushed it last night. This is the exact same coffee answer as me. She says, what stresses her out is anytime I have to go into Walmart, why do I go there? You know, it's so funny that like oftentimes I will go to Walmart when I get back to town from here because it's the only store that's open. So if we need, you know, seltzer water, coffee, whatever, something for the morning, I'm always in Walmart. And I see people in there that I have not seen since high school. I see people in pajamas.
Yep.
I hear music that I haven't heard in 40 years since high school dances. It is such a case study of American society. I find it fascinating, sometimes depressing. I've seen, you know, drunk kids in there that like were former neighbors. And I'm like, oh man, you just like want to give them a hug. But then you're like, just hope they figure it out. You know, where do you shop? Do you go to Walmart?
You know, honestly, Walmart has some good prices for food.
Yeah. Well, they've got big savings. No question about that. But,
you know, if I want to save some big bucks, I'll go there. But if I have a grocery store right in front of my house, pretty much.
Do you have an Aldi?
Festival.
Oh, Festival's a good store. Yeah.
Well, it's a little expensive, but they do have some great stuff in their deli.
Yeah,
it's so good.
And I like when I go into a store and it's like, our store in LA was like this. You walk in, it's like out of the 50s. Like, there is nothing out of place. Like, the floors shine. That's kind of how Festival is.
Yeah.
But you got to get to an Aldi, dude. You want to talk about your grocery bill will be cut in half. I'm serious.
When I was in Milwaukee, they did have an Aldi pretty close to my house and I would go there sometimes. So yeah. I definitely know.
It's great. It's good to be in the club. All right. We've got more coming up. And this Midnight Run clip, we got to play this. And maybe we'll do a Ted Lasso. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And the sky was blue. And the sky was so blue. And the love was true. As she and you grew. You grew. How are you?
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This has been a fun show. We've had a lot of fun here. It was the Popcorn Pick of the Week. And Randy Klima from Klima Sequins Cheese and Gifts was here from Pesh to Go to give us his Popcorn Pick of the Week. It was the original Roadhouse, which was a great pick. And a great pick for snacks and a great pick for popcorn. We both agreed we liked it better than the new one. David DeSimone, that was fascinating. I am definitely checking out that estate, Black Point Estate in Lake Geneva. And Kristen Schaefer was here. She took time out from playing bingo to tell us about the Dodge County Fall Fest that she is overseeing. That's this weekend. I'm sorry, that's October 5th. So lots of fun stuff on the show tonight. Tomorrow night we have It Is a Bar Band Friday night here at Nightlight. Terry Barr, our friend, will be here early tomorrow night. She'll be here at 6:35 instead of 7:35 because our second hour we're probably going to do an all-star show because we're being preempted, at least on the radio, as opposed to the stream. So we'll have Terry on the first part, and then we might do a replay of Rose Abdu. She was in Hacks, and we talked to her just before she found out she won an Emmy, or that the show won an Emmy, and surprised everybody by beating the Bear. So we'll replay that interview tomorrow, and possibly Tim Sowers from the Overture Center. Tim is always fun to talk to and has great suggestions regarding TV and movies. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. You know, I've been listening to these Mino and the Mayor ads, Conrad, yeah. And they have so much fun.
Yeah.
They're just a blast. They're great guys. Todd does a great job. They have so much fun. But is it just me, or do you feel sometimes like John and Jim are in love with each other?
They might be.
Is there? I'm just saying, I'm only going from the ads, but I'm a lot of sexual tension there.
I think that is when you have Todd on next time, you should. That's a great question to ask him.
I'm going
to
do a deep dive into this. Todd is producing the show on Monday, and we're going to talk about ghosts. That'll be fun. And it'll be fun. So we'll do that. And I will ask Todd about this because they're, doesn't change anything. They're great guys. And they award winning radio show. What do they win? Like the second best morning show in the whole state. That's fantastic. So, and I just saw John walk by the window. So I was hoping if I said something controversial like that, he would storm in here and just kind of take over the show and I could go home early. Lots to get to. Tomorrow we'll have it'll be a great time with Terry Barr. And then, as I mentioned, Todd will be producing the show on Monday night. So we'll talk some ghosts. I'm excited about that. And Nikki Zurjev, am I saying her last name right? Nikki Zurjev, I think it is. Have you met her yet?
I have not met. Because she's in here in the morning and, you know, we get here a little later.
And she's already gone by the time you get here. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. I might have to do a citation. Seems like she's cutting out. No, she's great. She's going to be on the show Monday at 6:35. And I understand she used to be on air and now she's behind the scenes. And she's kind of like one of these radio people that just kind of know everything about radio. So that'll be fun. And Todd and I will do some ghost talks with some fun stuff. Conrad, are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Don't ask me how I did it. But Charo is on the show next Wednesday night at 6:35.
Yes.
The one and only. You remember her from all the 70s variety shows. She's this beautiful performer. She was funny. Charo is going to be performing in Madison, and she will be here next Wednesday night at 6:35 p.m. to discuss it. And my new friend, Rebecca Warner, set that up, too. And she introduced us to David DeSimone. So that was fun. So lots of good stuff coming up on Nightlight next week as well. I really want to do that clip from Midnight Run. So every week, folks, Lisa Hale hosts this great show called New Wisco Weekend. If you haven't checked it out, you definitely have to. It's like a news magazine show. It's on in just here in Northeast Wisconsin. Oshkosh, Green Bay, Appleton, and Marinette, all these great Northeast Wisconsin communities get to hear it because it affects them. And she does great stories. There's typically a theme. Terry Barr contributes. Conrad contributes. Who am I leaving out? Brittany, maybe?
Yeah, she contributes as well. And Todd is a good voice on it. He also gives some music picks usually. So
really?
Yeah.
Okay. I must have missed Todd's. That's great.
Playlist with the theme of it.
Oh, I love that. So every week I pick out a classic movie pick, one we have maybe forgotten about and want to revisit. And this week I did Midnight Run. So that'll air this weekend. It's a really fun segment to do. And Lisa does a great job, as I mentioned. But I found this clip when I was putting the piece together. And I just love it. And I just love this movie. And I love the relationship between Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin's characters. They're on a bus. They're trying to stay alive. On the run from the mob and the FBI. Robert De Niro is trying to take Charles Grodin into custody because he jumped bail. And Robert De Niro is a bounty hunter. And they're driving each other crazy. And here's a scene where they're on a bus.
Why aren't you popular with Chicago Police Department?
Something that really doesn't concern you.
She hurt you, Janet?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What are you sorry about?
I'm sorry you're hurt.
I'm not hurt.
You just said you were hurt.
I'm not hurt.
You just said you were hurt.
I didn't say I was hurt. You said I was hurt.
I asked you if you were hurt, and you said, yeah, I'm hurt.
That's because you made me say. You're starting to put words in my mouth.
Jack, you're a grown man. You have control over your own words.
You're damn right I do. So here come two words for you. Shut the up.
I'm so glad you used the edited. I just had this panic attack. Like you said you were playing the clip I sent you without editing it. Just a great scene. And Charles Grodin drives him so crazy. It's such a great watch. Check it out if you get a chance. All right. Thank you to all my guests, Randy Klima, Kristen Schaefer, and David DeSimone. Thank you to Conrad for producing a great show. And on behalf of everyone here at Civic Media, including me, Pete Schwabba, good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Cheese Days in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris's stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the green or gold with your local Civic Media radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 45 days to Election Day when the 45th President Donald Trump will try to become the 47th president. His supporters casted their ballots as early voting opened in Virginia Friday.
He's a proven leader. He has done this before. He has survived two assassination attempts, and he keeps going.
Trump will be in North Carolina tonight. His campaign says Republican gubernatorial candidate Mark Robinson not expected to attend the rally. CNN reported Robinson allegedly posted inflammatory comments on a message board of a pornography website over a decade ago. He called it salacious tabloid lies. Vice President Kamala Harris campaigned Friday in Georgia and Wisconsin, emphasizing the importance of abortion access. Lebanese officials now say at least 31 people were killed in Israel's strike on Beirut Friday. Israel says it was targeting top Hezbollah commanders and killed one linked to the 1983 U.S. embassy bombing. This is a
4 days of Coast Guard hearings on the 2023 Titan submersible disaster were revealing and emotional, says ABC's Jacqueline Lee.
During an emotional day of testimony on Thursday, OceanGate volunteer Renata Rojas.
They were excited about what they're going to see. Make sure you have your camera.
She said she understood that the sub was not classified for deep sea dives.
With exploration, there's risk. And without taking that risk and the exploration, you know, the world still be flat.
Investigators released underwater footage of the Titan on the ocean floor, with Rojas comparing it to the Apollo space program.
These hearings continue next.